I'm John Bollinger with Premier Tire.
You're not supposed to record me when I'm not looking. I'm just messing around. What are you doing? What's up?
Steve, hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out here to the Ryman Auditorium here in Nashville.
Right, and you were just here with
Ringo.
With Ringo, yeah. A couple months ago. Yeah, a couple months ago, and here with Toto today.
Yeah, man, we packed the place out by ourselves. It's going to be a fun night tonight because we get to play our full show, and that's... nice to be able to do in the United States. Now.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. Awesome.
What's going on, man, guys? Well, Premier Guitar, right? This is very cool.
Right. Man, when I saw your Starlix thing when I was a kid.
Oh, God.
I'm saying, you know
Please
what?
Please forgive me. I just got everything. I turned it all on.
You know what it did, though?
And like 35 years later, it's like, you know. People give me shit about that.
It was awesome, and it made me. I watched that, and I thought, man, I need to start playing like pedal steel or mandolin, because if that's what I got to play like to get a gig, it'll never happen.
Man, there's some better guitar players than me. Sorry about that one, okay, guys? It was 1984. What do you want me to say?
It was awesome. I mean, awesome, man. Great, great work. And anyway, huge fan. Tell me a little bit about this guitar. This is Sammy.
Oh, this is a one-off gift from my friends at Music Man, because I love Sammy Davis Jr.
Who doesn't?
And that's actually Sterling Ball, who's the president of the company. And who's that in the middle? I forget. Who else is in there? Anyway, it's mostly Sammy, you know what I mean? And it was kind of a piss take, a little gag.
Right.
And he has one, I have one, and it's basically my guitar. You can't buy this one.
Awesome. Awesome. But that is your signature model, though?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's my guitar. It just has the paint job. It's like, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just dicking around.
And what are those DiMarzio pickups that you run? They're the are they the PAF cities?
These are the ones that that they put together for me, man. It's called the Transition pickup because it was named after my last solo record.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
I'm not turning into a woman or anything. Zach Wild was quick to point that out. Oh, you're in the middle of a transition, are you? Wise ass that he is.
Yeah, right.
I'm awesome. Just sticking around. Use the good stuff.
Yeah.
Not the sloppy.
It's stuff. It's all good stuff. And so you, when you're doing sessions, are you still bringing like the Bradshaw rig out, or you just travel?
First off, I really don't do sessions anymore. It's been about 25 years. I mean, I'll do a guest spot on somebody's record. I'm mostly on the road doing my own stuff or recording my own music or with Ringo or Toto or a weird off project. Sometimes it's the days of all that stuff are sort of behind everybody. I mean, you know.
It's the whole
thing. I mean, I got blamed for the overuse of all that stuff. But you have to remember, that was a time when everything was very excessive. And in that era, they wanted that sound. They requested that sound.
Yeah.
Because it was on a lot of hit records now, and a lot of the guys, not just me, everybody had it. Now, in Bob's defense, Bob didn't tell everybody to turn everything on.
He
built these amazing systems, which I still have and I still use. He's a dear friend, and I think the world of him. But I just, when you get on these trips where like you're dealing with freight and all this stuff, which is now a reality that we have, the expenses of touring have skyrocketed since those days.
Right.
And unless you're in the back of a truck, dealing with you ship it all over to Europe on a boat and it goes in the truck, then you're, but if you have to move around at all, you have to be very conscious of the weight of things.
So absolutely.
Generally, sometimes I just take a couple of pedals and rent a Bogner or a Marshall or something like that. I'm basically a Bogner guy. So but I also have a Kemper modeling amp,
really,
which I use for a lot of sessions. I just, if somebody wants to just run over and do a solo, I'll just grab that, throw it in the car and go there.
Did you model these?
No, man, I just turn the thing on and play. I have a whole thing that I have to, I have a lot of information I can put into it, but I actually have to be home to do that.
Right,
see, 200 and something days a year on the road, they're jumping back and forth, so it makes it a little more difficult. But
So is Sammy your number one right now?
Oh, no, I mean, it's like basically my spare.
Okay, I think John's got your number
okay,
one.
Okay, this is, I mean, number one, though, number one's change.
Yeah.
I had a Blueberry Burst, and now we're working on a new model. Scott Ball over at Music Man has got a new one that we're going to.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's
good. This is a beautiful axe, isn't it?
Right.
Nice?
It's, yeah, that's awesome. And you have the. Awesome.
Yeah.
Now you have the finish is off the neck when they at the factory, right?
Yeah, that's just the way they do things. It's got this
beautiful. It's beautiful, man. Right.
It's a beautiful little thing right here, man. I really love it. Feels great. It just makes such great guitars.
Did you do that to kind of feel like you're 59 Les Paul to get that kind of
It was actually this one. This was a pattern more after an old Valley Arts that I had, a guitar neck that Dudley Gimple, who used to work at Valley Arts, who was one of the primary designers over at Music Man.
Oh, that's cool. A little synchronicity. That's cool. Yeah.
All sorts of things. I can sit here all day and dick around. Right. I mean, I don't have the time to do that. So
right, I know.
I'm just trying out my stuff. You know, I always test everything when I'm here. Anyway,
I know you've got sound check and a few. But yeah. Do you still play your Valley Arts and your 59 at all?
I have my 59. Matter of fact, my buddy Joe Bonamassa just found all the little replacement parts. He found the tuning pegs that were original.
Oh.
A couple missing things because when I bought it in '79,
right.
I had a guitar tech that put Yamaha tuning pegs on it.
Yeah,
because it would stay in tune. It would stay in tune better. Yeah. Now, at the time, I wasn't, you know, I bought the thing for like $4,000, which my accountant at the time thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but it's obviously, you know, 100 times that now.
Yeah, you did all right on that one.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of great old pieces. A few things that I sold that I have a little seller's remorse, but, you know, you always do.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, I had a daughter going to college at the time, and I figured, well, you know, I never played this thing in 20 years. I might as well get.
Yeah.
And I got, like, you know, a lot of dough for some of these pieces. But now I go, why did I sell that? I didn't have to sell that. I still have, a 51 Esquire, too.
Oh, awesome.
Which is pretty mint. But, you know, I'm a Music Man guy through and through, but, I mean, I still have these guitars.
Yeah.
I played my, when Les Paul was still alive, God bless him, there was a Les Paul tribute in L.A., I just played my verse through a Marshall, and everybody was like, wow, everybody brought fake ones. I know. But Joe is my resident expert with all that vintage stuff. You know?
Yeah, right? You know? He takes that serious.
Yeah. He sure does.
Yeah. So we had a... We had a bunch of fans write into Facebook about things to ask you. A lot of people were wondering about when you made the transition to Bogner.
You know, I was looking for something different. And Reinhold is an old friend. He came up and goes, come to my warehouse and play through everything, whatever you want. So I played through and I found, and that was the one that I liked. And I've just been playing. It's a workhorse. Things never broken on me once. Of course, I should have never said that.
That's a sure disaster,
you know.
Yeah, right. Well, you got a backup. So
well, you know, that's what I mean. Johnny, my tech man, who's my friend, and he has an extra one. It kind of looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's not where everybody goes, what do you have three amps for? And I'm like, well, because we have three is better than two.
Right.
That's the Nigel Tufnell. That's the Nigel Tufnell answer, right?
You know? Yeah. Well, Steve, thanks so much for joining
us. Thanks a lot. I mean, I didn't know I was going to be, you know, I'm sorry I didn't play anything super flashy. But
It was awesome. So enjoy the never-ending tour.
Listen, I'm the luckiest man in show business. I don't think for a second I don't know that.
Yeah. All right, till next time.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Hi in Premier Land.
Yeah. Hey, I'm John Bolger with Premier Guitar, and I'm here with John Gosnell, the tech for Steve Lukather. John, thanks for joining us, man.
Anytime. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Hey, so this pedal board has come a long way since the Starlix video pedal board. Tell me the signal flow and what we got going on here.
Okay. Well, it's basically... turned into obviously two separate pedal boards, which is much easier for travel.
Sure.
You know, with the airlines these days, you know, anything over 50 pounds is kind of when you're doing fly dates, it's kind of tough. But
yeah.
Basically, what it's pretty simplistic. It's divided into basically your front end of the amp effects, which is his main pedal board.
Sure.
So all your signal heading into the amplifier is coming off of that. And then your return or your time-based effects are here on the satellite board.
Oh.
So basically from the guitar, the first thing that we're coming into is actually on the satellite board, which is the SP compressor. So that's where the input chain actually starts on this.
And you're using a quarter inch?
Well, we're on wireless.
Oh, okay.
We're trying out a bunch of different wireless units these days, and it's working out well. So we're feeding the wireless to the compressor.
Okay.
And then from there, it jumps into the main board at the Univibe.
Oh, okay.
Which he's been loving. We've had it on for a while now, and it sounds great.
Yeah,
you know,
great pedal.
And a small footprint, so it works well.
Right.
Size, you know, definitely is a consideration, but he loves it, and it's, you know, that's actually being used on a couple of tunes, and then from there we hit the Jam Pedals Waterfall Chorus.
This guy right there.
Yep, mm-hmm. And yeah. he uses that quite a bit. It's a very unique sounding chorus, and it's used periodically throughout, you know, the show. And then of course the Tone Concepts Distillery Luke pedal, which is like an EQ boost. He loves it, and of course that's always being tweaked, and you know. He loves the pedal, great company. And from there, we're actually hitting the Tone Saver buffer. And it drives the long cable runs and just keeps everything a lot more steady, tone-wise and consistent. From the buffer, we're hitting the Boss 500L volume pedal, out of that into the wah, which from there is then hitting the distortion.
And this is a Vertex wah?
It's a standard blackout wah, I think they call it. It's just kind of like a similar take on a Crybaby.
Sure.
He experiments quite a bit with wah pedals. I know for a while we had a Joe Bonamassa wah, and he just tries them out and see, you know, they each have their own little unique character. So
yeah.
I think it's kind of what he's looking for out of it at the time.
Sure.
And of course there, the distortion, which is the Jeff Coleman's distortion, the Bombastortion, and sounds really, really great over top of the Bogner Blue Channel. Gives it a little bit more thicker of a tone, a little bit more sustain, and you know, that's been on there ever since he's gotten it. And then lastly, the Strymon Lex, which is used quite a bit as well. Great rotary effect, slower, fast speeds, and you know, that feeds the input of the Bogner. And of course, the tuner is being fed off of the second output of the buffer. So
okay.
That's out of the signal path, yeah. Cool. So when he kills the volume, it mutes, and he can tune silently and if he needs to. From there, the main Bogner effects send is returned to the smart gate, which occasionally, if it's, you know, depending on the setting, he'll engage that to quiet it down, but we don't need to use it most of the time. From there, an EchoSex 2, this is a newer pedal, it's like an old Benson Echo Rec kind of thing.
Okay. Now, and these are all running, you said, into the effects
loop? The effects loop, yeah. After the main board, he's coming out of the effects send,
okay,
hitting the analog delay.
So are you doing like a dry wet thing? Or?
Yeah, it basically with the amps, his main Bogner is there on the right, and that's his tone head. Everything's hitting that main Bogner mono, and he's coming out of that head. The effects send, splitting, you know, well, not splitting, but hitting his time-based effects, which is basically an analog delay, a TC flashback, and then we're hitting the Strymon reverb, coming out stereo into the short delay, stereo into the long, and then stereo affects returns of each amp head.
Wow.
So it sort of gives him that wet, dry, wet vibe that he had with the Bradshaw rigs back in the day. And of course, it's a lot less gear to have to cart around, and it's been working out well. You know, the long delays, he, you know, cascades them both for leads. The short delays on a lot of the time just for a little more ambience as well. Not all the time, but...
And is there a tap tempo on both of these? Or
no, he doesn't. They're preset, and he basically just, you know, he might maybe fudge around with the level of them depending on the room, but most of the time they're just preset, a little bit shorter and a little bit longer of a delay. And those are, you know, for usually leads and other occasions where he wants to have a cascading stereo delays. But the reverb, you know, we just leave that on. And he's been really liking the analog delay as well. So that's on quite a bit. But, you know, it's not real complicated. It's enough to kind of make it work for him.
It's sort of shockingly simple, really. I mean, and in the studio, does he use a similar kind of rig or?
I know a lot of times he's cut in the studio, plugged, you know, right into an amp. But I know, you know, he will probably take his pedal boards as well, you know, depending, I guess, on what the session is and who he's, you know, what he's involved in.
Right.
But, you know, if the studio, this is more for to cover, you know, all the songs and all the different parts he's doing. But it's a more stripped down rig. And like I mentioned before, it's a lot easier when you're doing fly dates, and to carry the pedal boards with you. It's a lot easier to deal with.
Sure. Hey, Leland, you can walk by, man.
Hi, Leland.
I just wanted to come up here.
Couldn't be doing the show without this man.
You're the best, Lee.
He's my fluffer.
Now, that's a cool cameo right there.
That's pretty much what we're doing right now. You know, it's been working real well, and,
how are you powering it?
We've got right now. I think we've got the decibel 11 hot stones under there. It gives us a couple of the 9 volt 400 milliamp outs for the